welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Spooky. Welcome to the 13th. Creaky stairs.
Spooky 13.
Episode of the Brother Streep Show. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dull.
I'm Andrew.
So as you can tell, this is a particularly spooky episode because it's episode 13, the one where we will share later on some potentially frightening stories, frightening ideas. I mean, just imagine that we are three men gathered around the fireplace sharing ghost stories. Anyone have actually a ghost story? Anyone ever seen a ghost? Or
I've not ever seen a ghost. I was told that there was a ghost at a house that my dad stayed in once.
Okay.
And just the thought that there might be a ghost was scary enough, actually. I was genuinely quite scared of, like, the idea that I might look and see a ghost there, which is quite a strange fear. The fear of being scared, basically.
I thought for ages, and I know I've shared this on some other podcast before, but I thought for ages that there was a monster at the bottom of my sleeping bag.
Oh, yes. I love this.
And the only reason I thought that was because one day I had crawled down into that area of the sleeping bag, you know, the bottom, and I had seen what looked like these two eyes kind of staring at me, which is pretty scary because that's not my imagination. That is... there were two eyes staring at me. So for ages, not only in my sleeping bag, but in general, when I was like in bed, I just assumed that there was some sort of creature lying at the bottom of the bed.
Is this why you were so scared when we went camping a month ago?
Yeah, probably.
Is that when it happened?
And then I later found out that actually what had happened is that that sleeping bag had had a hole at the bottom and was letting in kind of this two little things of light. And so that's...
the antithesis of evil.
Yeah. So my scaredness was for naught.
Okay. I've got a very sore knee.
Oh, no.
Today. I went running yesterday.
Wait, is it a scarily sore knee?
It's frightening how sore mine... it's frightening how bad at running I was.
Okay.
So basically, I've been trying to run a bit, but then I haven't actually run this year at all yet. And then our lovely bassist's wife, Emma, and our bassist, Rich, were going... they are part of this running group, and they said I should come along. And I thought, yeah, that'll be fun. And I went along.
Were they fast?
No, not particularly. The problem was there's like different groups that run... at different levels within this big group that you go with. Walkers, woggers, which sounds like a word that brought in from the 80s that no one's meant to say anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway. And then the group I went with was literally called Super Chilled. who's gonna be part of the Super Chilled group? And I thought, yes, that sounds like my style. I'll go Super Chilled.
So you somehow managed to damage yourself in the Super Chilled group.
Yeah. Well, no, the problem is I've got an existing ailment with my right knee.
Okay.
And I think it dates back to this time that we went with our friend to go propose to his then girlfriend.
You went to go propose to his. Yeah, it sounds like
four
that plan
or five of us.
Backfired. I'm going to propose to my girlfriend today, and then you just cut in.
It's basically whoever saw her first. he did. And on the way there, we stopped along the way in a place called Colesberg, which is a very small dorpie with nothing to do. So we went out to the one nightclub called the Blue Moon, which I think must be the amount of time people are there. And got back, I think, around 10 p.m., pretty early night, and the campsite was completely closed.
That nightclub hasn't done well if you're out by 10.
It's awful. The Blue Moon isn't even out yet. The campsite had completely closed all its doors and fences, and there was like no way to get back in after 10. So we climbed this one fence and jumped off, and I did one of those very bad landings because it was completely dark. Okay. And so I landed on my foot, on the heel of my right foot, and I think... what's basically happened is I now walk with a funny foot.
All right.
And it's resulted in a strain on the knee, blah, blah, blah.
So you have a bit of a gammy leg here.
I've got a very... It's dicky.
You
it's dicky, this leg of mine.
You sound like an 80-year-old man here.
I can predict the weather changing with this stupid knee of mine. So we went on the run, and I was like back of the pack. If you think Jumanji, whenever you see that herd of animals running around, there's always the comedically slow rhino at the back. It comes like way later. That was me. And then And then you get to the top of the trail run. I mean, it's not like right up a mountain, but there is an incline. And then everyone's like stoked because the way back is downhill.
Yeah.
Turns out downhill is way worse for my dicky gummy knee. So I had to walk. So I basically walked by myself for about 25 minutes. Very peaceful, very relaxing. Emma came back, took mercy on me, and came back to find me in case I'd like got lost or stuck in a boulder.
Were you so chilled and so slow that they've named a new group after you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a wogger from now on. Oop.
The Gammy Knees.
Yeah, was that the new band?
I don't really have any scary stories. I remember being on a camp and being told a terrifying ghost story.
Okay.
And all I can remember is, I guess, the punchline. You know, it's not
the punchline.
Well, I don't know what to call it.
Was this a ghost story or a ghost joke?
Yeah.
It's very different things.
I would have liked it to be a ghost joke.
I bet it's bubblegum or spaghetti.
That would have been better.
Well, make up the beginning bit and then just say the end bit.
No, the end bit is horrible and I don't want it
is
in
it
my
that
head.
The dog was dead all along, so it must have been the person.
It was something to do with a dog.
Yeah. Okay.
And there was blood dripping.
Yeah.
It was a drip.
Everyone
drip.
Knows that one. Drip, drip, drip.
That's the only one that I've ever heard and I can't remember the beginning.
It's not real.
Yeah,
the fact that everyone's heard it.
Wait, I haven't heard this. How's it go?
There's something about a dog and the woman always puts her hand down and then the dog would lick it before she went to bed.
Okay.
And then she hears a drip, 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 but like she's already had the lick, 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 and then she hears drip, 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 and she thinks it's a tap, and then she goes off and she finds her dog is dead,
okay,
dripping blood, and then it's like, but who was that licking her hand? The killer. It's terrifying.
You sold it.
Yeah, wow. Okay, well, now that you've said
it's
that.
It's a very funny joke.
No. It's not as scary.
Now that I've lifted the veil on it.
Wow, thank you.
If you come to me with any other irrational fears,
I appreciate that.
I can unpack them for you.
My favorite story of all time is that one about these friends of mine that were house-sitting a house.
And better than house-sitting a bungalow, because that's impossible.
House-sitting a house, and essentially there was this like kind of freaky kind of clown... figure
like
of some sort. No, it's like a blow up clown or like one of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Just like this clown figure, basically.
Just as an aside, those when you go to people's houses with wooden masks on the walls, that freaks me out.
Wooden masks freak you out.
Yeah, in low light. Man,
what?
Terrifying.
That's artwork.
No, it's not. It's freaky.
So do you freak out when you go to the waterfront and see those people on the side selling the African masks?
Totally. Oh, no, it's something about mounting it on a wall, so it is looking at you. Anyway, carry on.
So anyway, these people are trying to go to sleep. They're getting kind of freaked out by it because, you know, clowns are quite freaky. So they keep on put a towel over it to make sure that it's not distracting them.
It's a blow-up clown.
Anyway, so then they kind of go about their business and everything, but then like they look back and this thing's been uncovered again, so cover it.
Oh, no.
This happens kind of throughout the weekend and they're kind of going like, why on earth do these people have this clown that's kind of freaky? Why? This makes no sense. And eventually what happens is they phone up the people that they're house sitting for and say, look, this clown thing that you have just is freaking me out. Keep on putting the towel on it and it keeps on coming off. Why do you have this? What are you doing with this thing? And they go, what clown?
Yeah.
And then they go, but I did read in the papers that this mad clown escaped from the mental institute.
Oh my word.
It was a real person. It wasn't a blow up clown.
That's
dun dun dun.
That's terrifying.
I know that that's a story, but that still scares me.
So if anyone's interested, last time we spoke about my car, the door was hanging off. It was kind of hanging on by just that.
It was in dire straits.
That you pick up and down to open and close the door. The upholstery started sagging.
Oh.
Since then. And it's quite weird.
Where from?
How does an upholstery sag?
The roof, you mean?
Yeah, the roof upholstery.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's like, dangling down. You know, you sometimes see people have like stapled the upholstery back up.
Okay.
It was hanging down. And the two back panels where the lights turn on if your doors are open peeled away. And it makes me think, you know, sometimes they say technology is built so that it'll last just until like 2 years is up, then you need the new one. This is an old car. Somebody thought ahead. I think it's like a 98 model. So they're like, this thing needs to completely fall apart in the same week pretty much in 18 years. That's bizarre. Anyway, so I got it all fixed. But
cool.
How did you fix the upholstery?
Well, I took it to a place.
and the
they
door?
They replaced it.
Have they thought about replacing the whole car?
The car has a sunroof, which is obviously also upholstered, and the two upholsteries don't match now. We've got this sunroof panel in the middle of the normal roof that's just slightly different. Okay. But you'd never know.
I know now. It's going to haunt me.
Oh, you'll know.
Ooh.
I was cleaning out my house as well, because I'm in the process of doing all these things.
Yeah, you seem to be having an admin week.
It is an admin week. And I found a very exciting article in my cupboard. And I'm not sure how on earth I've managed to hang on to it. Well, I mean, I am. I just didn't throw it away. But it's an old T-shirt from primary school.
Please tell me that your primary school wore... kind of light brown t-shirts and not white t-shirts.
Yeah, this is khaki. And
it's good to know.
It's one of those shirts that you walk around on the last day and get all your friends to write on it. Okay. A lot of blank spaces, sure, but we all know how my primary school went.
Computer lab.
What's the best message?
Well, it's the theme of the thing is like a lot of rave. People seem to say, keep raving, like enjoy the rave.
Were you into rave music?
No, I think it was almost like that kind of slang.
It was all the rave.
Enjoy 2000, because I was going into high school in 2000.
Wow. Does anyone say beware Y2K?
Someone,
good luck.
Some joker must have written that on
good
somewhere.
Good luck for next year. Keep in touch. See ya. I don't think I saw him since then.
Good luck for next year. Hope you don't stop working when the clock strikes midnight.
Have a good holiday and good luck on being a freshman.
Now, who was that though? That person, I hope they were a good friend, because they've definitely taken up a lot of the t-shirt. They've done the big writing too.
I think they took pity on me and realized that people weren't really writing.
Yeah, so you need a few of those.
They filled up a big panel.
You thought maybe if I get four people to write really large.
What you'll like is there's a teacher's section. Enjoy the challenges ahead. That was the computer teacher.
She obviously knew about the car that you were going to have.
Hitchy baby.
Ooh.
Enjoy the road ahead. Yeah, that's from a guy.
Hitchy baby. Was that your nickname? Let's quickly dwell on that for a bit. Why do people call you Hitchy baby?
I want to eat you, which is interesting.
It's ignoring me.
I don't know what that means.
Hitchy baby here.
I think that's to do with...
Hitchy baby one more time.
Oh, here's a good one. Give me some chicken bad boy from Bluff.
Another teacher.
That is a guy called Nicholas somebody. I can't remember his surname. Nickname was Bluff. And... yeah, he was like one of the bullies. I don't know why he said, give me some chicken bad boy.
Maybe he wanted lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of taking
what
it from
you,
asking
it. What I do know is that one guy I asked to write on, he was, you know when there's like a new guy and he's the cool new guy?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this guy sucked. He wouldn't write on my t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah, Daryl.
But if he's the new guy and he's just come to the school just in time to sign your shirt.
Cool. I guess I like to think that he was still that cool just because he was new, but he was probably there for about 2 or 3 years at this stage. I was like, nobody could be that cool. It must be because he's new.
Who refuses to sign on your shirt?
The same guy who had frosted tips in his hair and wore muscle vests.
I'm pretty sure I've seen you with frosted tips and a muscle vest.
Definitely not. Muscle vest, yes. But that's ironic. I also, while cleaning out things, decided to give away some big speakers and an amp to a colleague of mine who's into records and old... he likes to hear sound, basically. And I've got these things. They've been sitting there and not being used for ages, so I kind of thought, two birds with one stone, I'll manage to get rid of some junk. And then he sent me a text and a picture saying they sound effing amazing.
Okay.
And I had this feeling of like, we should set them up. Can I now take them back now that I know they sound that good? You'll probably listen to this. Oh, well. If I can be found
in streeping around. So I've been catching the train again recently after about 5 years or so of not catching the train. And so I've been getting used to all these kind of strange things that you get used to when you start using the train again. One of those is... on the busier trains, there's obviously less space. And I basically realized that you basically end up spooning strangers. That's how that's how close you are to them. And what's very strange...
If you're standing.
Yeah, if you're standing.
Right.
I mean, I've yet to manage to get that tight that people are lying down on top of each other.
Spoon strangers on the bench.
But anything is possible. But I kind of feel weird about that because... often what happens is you enter the train and the other people are facing the other way, but you get kind of slammed into them.
Mm.
And you end up spooning. Like the other day, I spent maybe a good 10 minutes spooning this guy. Never saw his face.
Yeah.
I didn't even know if he's my type.
I think that's where that strangers on a train thing comes from. It's a little love story.
Must
but,
be.
But you just never see them again.
And the other day, there was this... He looked like a kid, basically. He was like quite a short, stocky guy wearing what looked like a school blazer. But he was chatting to this American exchange student.
Okay.
And it seemed to be that he was telling this woman that he had this new job and all this kind of stuff.
That's
so
weird.
I was like, okay, well, either what's happened is this guy is just in school and he's chancing his luck with this foreigner. I don't know, because he was mentioning like, you know, what are you guys up to later and all this kind of stuff.
How young did he seem?
Well, once again, couldn't see his face. Only could see his back. But he seemed pretty young. Like, so either that was happening.
Was he talking with his voice like this? Yeah, yeah, I've got a new job in town. I'm the CEO. It's amazing. I've only been here a week, but they made me the head of the company.
So it's either that, or what's more frightening is this guy is slightly older, but he's going to work in his school blazer.
And it's maybe he's look. Also... I sometimes miss the old blazer look.
You just hope that's not one of those old blazers like yours has been written over. So good luck for next year. Hope you rise to the top really quickly. But one of the things that happened the other day, and I'm pretty sure that you've all been in a situation where you've been in a public space, but there's been a person there that has decided that, no, this public space, whatever noise you would normally hear in this public space is not good enough for them.
Mm.
They want to bring their music into
their own sense of fun.
Yeah, and it's weird because we all know headphones exist, so it's a bit of a strange thing to embark on yourself to become the DJ of the place you're in. But I did think what could be quite good in that situation is if people just to help guide the person away from the inconsiderateness of the other person that's playing this music.
Yeah.
Maybe what they could do is just very calmly and very nicely start requesting songs. If you kind of treated them like the DJ of that moment and were like, cool, I'd like to put in a request. And you basically then put in a song request that seems like very opposite to the type of music they're playing. So say they're playing Kanye, you go, cool, Cotton Eye Joe, that kind of a vibe. I think that could really help that situation and turn everything around.
I think sometimes these troubled youths, they just want a bit of attention anyway.
Yeah.
If you did say, oh, that's really cool. Like, what other tracks do you?
Yeah.
What tracks do you do? How's your mixing? They might they might turn from inner city crime to inner city DJing.
I think it'd be great.
Come inside the Brother Street Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
So welcome to the Warehouse of Rejected Ideas. It's very simple. What we do is we come up with ideas that are more than likely going to be terrible ideas, and so are going to get rejected, and they end up in this lovely warehouse. And this time, we're going to be talking about horror movie ideas.
Or as the Americans say, horror.
Just before we begin, what is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
I think in terms of movies that something's been scary and stuck with you, because I don't tend to watch them. I know you're a scary movie watcher. I have watched the scary movies, that franchise, but that's not as haunting. I think there was something actually called The Haunting or The Haunted, which was very scary and left me with weird dream nightmares about my parents being ghosts or something. So that image stuck with me. Andrew, you can have that one. You can take it from me if you want. And then there was something where like an octopus was holding a kid underwater and the... There's an electronic pool cover that was going over and he was trying to swim for the pot.
What?
But it was
movie
obviously
is this?
Closing. It wasn't a horror movie. It was obviously just something that stuck with me as being quite scary. Yeah.
Otherwise, of Garfield and Friends or something. Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really watch them.
It's a bit of a difficult question for me because hypothetically or realistically, I have seen The Grudge and I think it was...
How do you hypothetically see a film?
Well, because my eyes were closed for most of the film.
You've heard The Grudge.
I've heard The Grudge, yeah. Okay. It sounded terrifying. I honestly can remember maybe like two flash frames.
Yeah.
But the scariest movie that I went to see, I was 13, I think, and
Beauty and the Beast
number 13.
And my friends were like, hey, let's go to the movies on Friday. And I was like, yeah, cool, that sounds good. And they say, oh, we're gonna go see this cool film, Final Destination 2. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a great sci-fi like action film, like Stargate. It's gonna be amazing adventure film. And I got to the cinema, and when that log went through the dude's face, I was like, oh no. Because I get so freaked out by this stuff and I just couldn't handle it. So yeah, Final Destination 2.
It's weird to go see a sequel though, like to just walk into a sequel blindly.
I was very naive.
Did you just think it was like part of the title?
Yeah, totally.
Like Final Destination 2.
Didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind.
Those films freak me out a bit as well. Well, I don't know about the second one, but the first one with that kid slipping in the shower and all of that.
I haven't seen it.
Yikes. So good. Love it a lot. It's a pity about the sequels, though. They get incrementally worse. That's often how sequels go. Yeah. I think the most scary thing I've seen probably was The Ring. It's a great movie if you ever want to treat yourself to some very well-filmed horror.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen 10% of that.
10%?
Yeah. I watched a little bit more.
It's not for me.
The best part of The Ring, in my opinion, was always when my friend Grieg just jumped on my friend Nick in absolute terror and broke my parents' chair.
Oh, wow. Dylan, I thought you were totally into scary films. I don't know why.
That's very interesting.
Do you like slasher films or something?
No.
I think you're thinking of me. I really like slasher films. But
I'm sure we had a conversation.
Bloody Valentine,
yes, that is stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wow, Dylan really likes those kind of films.
Was Dylan sitting there?
Just. We went, ironically, there was about six guys on Valentine's Day with no Valentines, and we thought, let's go watch My Bloody Valentine 3D, in which there is a scene where a guy with a pickaxe thrusts it through the back of someone's head such that the eye pops out and in the glory of 3D pops out right in your face.
Did you jump?
Probably. So yeah, I don't think I've seen a slasher film since then.
Okay, alright. Well, I'm glad.
But onto rejected movie
ideas. Can you beat those ideas?
I've got an idea.
Alright,
these scary films feast on your fears, basically. Yes. I think, Andrew, you've demonstrated that anecdotally.
I'm feeling a little claustrophobic in you.
Arachnophobia that came out, playing on the fear of arachne. on the fear of how bad David Arquette's acting can be. So I was thinking that maybe they should do one on slightly weirder fears, or some might say more irrational than fear of spiders, because spiders can do harm. The really big ones, the really massive ones that are on fire in that film, they can definitely do harm.
I heard though that the really massive spiders were the ones that aren't at all poisonous, and that the really, really tiny ones do the most damage.
That can't be a hard and fast rule, surely.
I don't know.
Run around kicking
it's
big
what
spiders.
I heard when I made it up just now.
So my film is called Genophobia, which is the irrational fear of knees. I've never heard of anyone being scared of knees, so I think a lot of the people who do go watch this film won't be that scared.
I think old people might be. Old people always have a bit of a dodgy knee, much like yourself.
I've actually just made that connection.
And I think that they will find it frightening, a story about knees failing you or attacking you or something. They'll be like, it's really playing into their fears, I reckon.
I'm just thinking of a close-up of a knee as it moves. It just makes cracking noises.
Oh, my word.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. I actually once, we got a friend of ours, Monique, who she, for whatever reason, she showed, I think myself and Rich and someone else, a video of this operation that she had on her knee.
Boy.
Now, I don't know why they film it. I don't know why the doctor thinks, I'm going to film myself operating on this knee. But it was one of those, like, pinhole camera things getting right up in the nerve endings or whatever else tissues are in that knee. And it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. I reckon if they made that a horror film,
they could use
people,
that footage for...
People would leave.
Found footage horror film about knees.
They would leave the cinema.
I didn't make the connection before, but obviously I was basically wanting to use an irrational fear that people wouldn't fear, and ended up on knees on the same day that I feel like my knee was going to explode out of my body. But
subconscious is trying to tell you something.
What I would say is that the bad guy or slasher in this film could wear those zip offs. So that you think he's like just your mate. He's a friendly dude. Knees. I had a pair of those zip offs. Did you ever? You must have. You're a scout.
No, I didn't have.
I'm sure all your clothes zip off into
all of his clothes zip on. That's a thing with scouts. He starts with normal normal clothes, zips on a flipping tent.
So I lost the top half of my zip-offs. So now I just have these two tubes that go from the ankle to the knee. Nothing to connect to. Quite sad.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Rejected idea, genophobia?
Super rejected. Yeah,
I think people will actually...
You think it's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. I don't like it. Rejected.
Oh, well.
I've been trying to think... Because obviously, as you say, horror movies play into fear. So I thought, when was the last time that I was truly scared? Like, when was I last really scared for my life?
Mm.
And so I would like to suggest...
Sleeping bag of death.
I would like to suggest, and I think this is going to be... People are going to relate to this. It's going to be called The Bad Driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Subtitle... It's too late to get out the car. And this is basically a film about when you have accepted a lift from someone and then into the ride.
Car with the bad driver.
Yeah, into the ride, you've realized, oh my gosh, this person is a terrible driver.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. You can't get out. The claustrophobia sets in. It's impolite to that moment be like, sorry, bud, pull over. You're terrible at doing this.
Yeah.
Either I'm taking over or I'm taking an Uber. This is the worst situation. You get in, you find out that this person's a terrible driver. Maybe the doors lock. Maybe the person looks at you sinistrously and says, it's too late now.
As they pull off, they're still looking at you.
Yeah. And throughout the whole ride, they're kind of either fiddling with their phone or just talking to you, not looking at where they're going. I think it would be perfect.
I had a very terrifying experience a number of times with a bad driver friend of ours who would he'd be doing the thing that you want somebody to do but for too long. So like you know when you check your blind spot to change lanes,
yeah.
You'd be on the freeway and he'd be doing that, but he'd kind of keep his head back checking the blind spot for like a solid 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds. And you're like, what if something happens in front of you? You have to check your not blind spot too. Like, look at the front. You can turn.
Well, I mean, the most recent time that I did happen and I was scared, I decided to break down the walls of social awkwardness and actually just mention it, because this person really was just like looking at me and going like, for some reason they thought they were really late for this event, and they really weren't. They had lots of time to spare.
It's not one of us, is it?
It's not one of you. So I just kind of started going like, hey, just so you know, like, we've got lots of time, don't worry, don't feel like you have to, like, because this person was A, not really looking where they're going, and B, just trying to drive in incredible speeds that aren't really made for our roads or any human being. So
were you clutching to the passenger door handle?
Were you pressing the brake?
The phantom brake press.
No, but what I was doing is I was actually just not looking. I was like playing with my phone, trying to look away from the road.
Kind of
it was getting to the moment where I'm like, obviously this person drives like this, and the fact that they're still driving me somewhere means that they've probably, in their own style, are quite good at driving recklessly and have somehow managed to not have a crash and probably won't have a crash now. So actually, if I just let them get onto their thing and I don't pay too much attention to what's going on, that will probably be less stressful than, you know.
Who do you cast as your bad driver in your film?
Ooh.
Mini Driver?
Adam Driver?
I think...
he's big right now.
Yeah, maybe John Cusack. He doesn't look like he'll be necessarily a great driver.
Does the film all take place in like a one shot, one car kind of vibe?
Oh, it could.
Because I watched a film called Lock recently that was like that. Not as scary, but also very good.
If it does that, I could win an Oscar, really.
Yeah. It does seem like Oscar material. Just my one will have Betty White. I think she must have quite bad knees. Just the older the better. Judi Dench.
Any member of the Golden Girls.
Yeah. Well, especially all the dead ones now. They have awful decomposed knees.
Ah!
So my idea for a bad horror film is, I mean, look, I haven't seen a lot of horror films. So
yours just has to have any blood in it, and it's like, oh, this is a scary movie. No, it's just an action film.
So I've heard of the film, is it Freddy vs. Jason?
Yes.
Okay. So my suggestion is The Grudge vs. The Grinch. I don't really know what The Grudge is about.
Is The Grudge a character, or is it like a grudge?
Yeah, it's like a kind of conceptual. A weird ghost. It's like a ghostly thing that haunts you, and
it's not just somebody having something a grudge to do with a bath.
It was a girl, wasn't it?
It's like a curse.
A girl. Yeah, it's always like a little girl.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a manifests girl. Itself for some
scariest thing.
And the Grinch, you know, it's well documented. His heart was warmed by a little girl, and so
little Cindy Lou.
Yeah, and so
you want your horror film to have a happy ending.
I mean, that would be great, because I don't like horror films. Yeah. My other idea is the scary movies 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Well, what about the Richard Scary movies 1, 2, and 3?
What? Richard Scary?
Yeah. Remember that
man,
guy?
Man, you were so desperate to put a pun in. What was he? He was a cat who drove a car, wasn't he?
You're willing to throw out pronunciation just so you can get a pun in.
That's how I pronounced it.
Did you pronounce it Richard Scary?
Yeah.
I think that this gets to the root of why you're so scared of everything.
What?
As a kid, you thought that Richard Scary was Richard Scary, and that was the platform from which you based your life.
You thought that all those soothing images of people driving around the city were meant to be chilling.
Your Richard Scary film is probably like a thing of Simon's a bad driver. As far as I remember, he was just driving around in a car most of the time. That could just be the one book.
Very recklessly.
Okay, so what happens in your Richard Scary film?
I bet you he doesn't
cats
know.
Drive
no,
cars.
He's just,
cats
he's, drive he's cars. Just said it for the joke. It's got no plot.
Richard Scary.
Switch.
Flop.
Flop.
Switch. Flop.
We're going to play Switch Flop.
Goody.
This is a game in which...
We're still doing scariness.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
This is a game where the brothers will have to argue a point.
Easy.
And if I say...
Not easy.
Flop, they have to change their opinion.
Easy.
And if
Not
I say easy. Switch, it changes between the brothers. They have to pick easy. It up where they left off.
Not easy.
No, we're just practicing.
And if I say Switch Flop...
Yeah.
Then
easy
not.
They have to
well, the
change.
Rules clear enough.
Exactly. We all get it. All right.
Okay.
And so the topic that I'm going to ask you to argue, and Dylan, mm-hmm. you're going to kick us off.
Good.
Is that clowns are scary?
Okay.
Clowns or clowns?
Clowns.
Because like cumulonimbus and all that stuff. Not that scary.
No. Clowns.
Depends
from
what you see in the
from
clouds.
The circus.
True.
So clowns.
Okay. So I can argue that.
Clowns are scary.
Well, that's a good thing, because I've gone on record famously for saying that clowns are scary.
Flop.
Which is a silly thing to say, and I wish you could take that kind of thing back, because basically there's nothing scary about them. They've got a big smile on their face. They've got white makeup covering them. They've got a big funny red nose that
Switch.
Feels like you could squeeze.
And when I do squeeze it, it just makes me want to laugh. I'm like, ha 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 ha.
Flop.
I'm getting so much joy, but that joy very soon turns to fear when I realize that when those clowns go home, they kill people.
Switch.
And I know this because
I've been to a circus. the clowns were the least enjoyable part of it. They came out with a bucket that they throw it out on the audience. You think it's going to be water, and then when you get older, you think it's not even going to be water. But then at this one, it was blood.
Flop.
Which was so kind of funny. I mean, it was so unexpected that it made you laugh.
Switch flop.
In your head.
I don't know about you, but I was not laughing. I feel that clowns get away with murder because they can fit so many dead bodies into their car.
Flop.
Which in some ways I guess so is still funny. The thought of just tons of bodies falling out of a car and the clown just going, oh, I don't know what happened.
Wow. Terrifying. I don't know who to give the point to there.
I'll concede it, because a hearse clown car is pretty funny.
Nice. Okay, we're going to move on to round two of Switch Flop, and your topic for this time is ghosts are real. Simon, you're going to kick us off with ghosts are real.
All right, well, ghosts are most certainly real. I saw a ghost the other day.
Flop.
But then it turned out to just be a mirror, and I was looking at myself.
Flop. Flop.
But then when I looked closer, I realized, hang on, I'm not translucent or holding an axe.
Switch.
Ghosts who hold axes are very real. The way that they come at you at in the nighttime when you're trying to sleep, you're trying to have a pleasant little dream, turns into an absolute nightmare.
Flop.
Which is quite odd, because I think a lot of time that stuff stuck in your own head. I've watched a lot of Scooby-Doo, and I think that's influencing. And it turns out that it's never a ghost after all. You just pull off the mask, and it's Groundkeeper Barge.
Switch flop.
Except in that one movie, the Scooby-Doo movie, where it turned out there were ghosts the whole time. They put a whole twist on the whole entire thing, and that made me go, oh, hang on, maybe all the other ghosts in their canon were real as well.
Flop.
So that means that I just can't trust Scooby-Doo. So I've thrown Scooby-Doo out the window and not gone to them for ghosts, but rather gone to Wikipedia, which says that ghosts are real.
Wow, that's kind of conclusive there.
He knows how to drive a point.
Yeah, he does.
Just use the internet.
Yes, Simon wins that point.
Yay!
Do you remember Casper ice creams?
No.
They were flipping nice.
But were they scary?
I think they came in bubblegum flavor.
I remember getting ripped
just
off.
Just say it again.
I remember being ripped off at school a lot because my mom did not let me see the Casper movie.
Oh, have you seen it yet? I've got it on DVD.
No, I haven't.
I've been
terrified. No, I mean, she had a point because I was going through a bit of a stage where I found everything scary. I found the bad guy at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit quite scary.
No, and he's terrifying.
But I was finding him scary when I was like maybe 11 or something, when I was past the time when kids should be scared by that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so my mom said, no, Simon, you cannot go see Casper. My friends found out and they all laughed at me because obviously Casper's meant to be a kid's film, and let's be honest, it's Casper the friendly ghost,
yeah,
not Casper the distractingly demonic, scary, berserker, horrible.
The problem with that film is that there isn't really a bad guy in his, like, I think Eric Idle is like the bad guy. He's tripping and falling over a lot of the time. And there's three step cousins or whatever. They're, you know, kind of Cinderella-esque. Yeah. They're just funny.
Well, I mean,
they're funny because one of them's fat. And when there's three things and one of them's fat, he's always going to be the funny one, isn't he?
It's always going to be hilarious. But the casting of Christina Ricci in one of those kind of films is really good because she generally looks like she is a ghost.
Yeah,
I reckon there was like no makeup involved in that at all.
Liability. Welcome to Liability. This Yay. Is a round which we will all present a short lecture on a topic to each other. It'll all be completely made up other than three true points. And we will try to get those points by the other people who will buzz in and say, hey, I think that's true, or they just won't buzz in at all. And at the end of it, there will be points scored in a way that makes sense. I don't know what you're thinking. This sounds a lot like the Unbelievable Truth, that podcast, and that's because it's very similar.
Yeah.
But we're claiming that it's similar. We're not trying to say that we made it up, but it is quite fun.
But it's not the same because it's called Liability. So what we did there is we just changed the name.
Yeah.
So it's like how we can have essay idols, which is exactly the same as pop idols.
And people don't seem to even be saying that.
Yeah, but it's not. So deal with it.
So today's round of Liability is spooky themed. Who wants to kick us off?
I don't mind going first.
Do it.
So my topic is the real Dracula, Vlad the Impaler, or as he was called, Dracula of Wallachia.
Okay. Has your lecture started yet?
No, it hasn't. Okay.
It feels like there's a lot of truth in that
So here we go.
Okay.
Vlad the Impaler was known by his people as a rather decent chap and has 3.8 million Facebook followers. Having spent 3 weeks...
I think he does have that amount of Facebook followers.
He doesn't. I'm sorry. No.
He probably is on Facebook.
I didn't check, but...
He probably has people to run the page.
Maybe. Having spent 3 weeks in a pit of snakes as a child, he grew up to be a rather well-rounded individual.
3 weeks in a pit of snakes.
No.
I'm thinking of 300.
Did that happen in 300? Yeah.
Continue.
Historical evidence suggests that his title, the Impaler, derives from his obsession with spit-roasted pigs, which he would feast on during his reign almost every night. His father was a member of a secret society called Order of the Dragon, and when Vlad found out about this, he had them all, except his father, rounded up and murdered for suspicion of treason.
Beep. I'm going to say that his father was part of that society, but the other stuff didn't happen.
Is the right answer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm now back on zero.
Vlad always had a quip to fit the moment. Often when he impaled someone, he would say something like, they twitch around like frogs, or calm down, you'll wake the wives. Yes.
I think they twitch around like frogs is something he might have said.
It is.
Yay.
It is
something he said.
How come that hasn't been like incorporated into the movies? I've never seen any of the people portraying Dracula being like, they'll twitch around with frogs.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I've got another little quote thing, which is just a bonus if you got that right, which you did, was another time a visitor came to his house only to find it filled with rotting corpses. Vlad asked him, do you mind the stink? When the man said yes, Vlad impaled him and hung him from the ceiling where the smell wasn't quite so bad.
Well, that's polite.
Yeah.
That's, what a host.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
It sounds like, I don't know why all these films that have come out with Dracula and have been horror films. They should be comedies.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to carry on. Impalement was the punishment for any crime, no matter how small. But there is one occasion mentioned where a gypsy stole something while traveling through Dracula's lands, and he sent him on his way out of respect for the gypsy people. And that's the end of my story.
Might have been one then.
That had to be one.
Statistically.
And?
Yeah, so I only managed to sneak one one thing past you guys.
Yeah. Chissy
and,
man.
And that was that impalement was the punishment for any crime, no matter how small.
Oh, okay.
And the gypsy thing that I made up was completely wrong, because actually, instead of having the man sent on his way, he had him boiled and then forced the other gypsies to eat him.
Oh, weird.
So maybe he's not such a good host.
Is this like Count Chocula?
I'm a bit 50-50 on this Dracula
this
guy.
This dude was intense, and he was real.
The more I hear about him, the less I like him.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I still would still like to meet him in a safe setting. Not like in a catfish situation.
These facts that I found were some of the tamer facts about him.
Really?
Which really says something about him.
What was the worst fact you found out about him?
Yeah.
That you feel is like repeatable on the podcast.
Yeah, the second worst.
He invited something like 200 of his father's, who was the king or something, like close allies around for dinner for a feast.
I mean, once when again, he became sounds nice. King. I'm like on his side. Yeah. Here. I'm like, cool. I'm backward. Coming. Glad.
Yeah. And then while they were having the feast, he impaled them all.
This is a real thing.
This is a real
thing. How is
dude.
He impaling people?
What? He just impales them.
Surely once you've impaled the first out of the 200 guests, the other 199 are like, whoa, I won't have what he's having. I'm getting out of here.
I think he had some help. It wasn't just him going around surreptitiously impaling people.
Well, this is what it sounds like. 200 people. That's a lot of people to impale in one night.
Yeah, no, he's a bad dude.
Okay.
Simon?
All right. Well, I feel so confident that I've got the best facts in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've snuck five into my little speech.
Oh,
I'm going to give you
good. Five up for grabs.
Lovely.
That's a lot of points. Now, this might backfire.
Yeah.
You might get them all and then I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
But maybe I won't. So I've decided to talk about Jack the Ripper, the very real murderer that was just,
a bad guy.
Yeah, he was a bad guy. He's talking about
Dipper.
London back in the day in the East End, causing lots of trouble. And he was never caught.
Has it started now?
No. I know. I'm just giving you some context.
Okay, all right.
He was never caught. And here we go. All right. Jack the Ripper by Simon Street.
True.
Jack the Ripper got his nickname as a young child due to his notorious reputation for farting. He also went by the names Leather Apron, Wooden Toke, and Julia.
Here we go.
I think you went by the name Wooden Toke.
And you are not correct.
Leather Apron.
Yes, it was Leather Apron. But I feel that was made more obvious once Dylan had buzzed
it. I was going to go for Leather Apron all day.
Yeah. So it's fair.
We'll never know. Jack wasn't actually a Londoner. Bite marks on some of his victims suggest that he had perfect teeth, which makes it an impossibility that he was British. All of Jack's victims were Japanese men from restaurants in the East End of London, leaving many to believe that Jack was a bit of a racist or simply not into sushi.
Can I go far back?
Yeah.
All the way to he wasn't a Londoner.
You can.
But he sounds so confident. I want to. I'm committing.
No, he more than likely was a Londoner. Obviously, no one knows who he was.
There's the old nobody knows who he was.
But more than likely, he was a Londoner.
Okay.
All of Jack's victims are already gone then.
Blah! And true.
The three main suspects of the crimes were as follows. George Chapman, a Polish immigrant and barber who successfully poisoned three of his wives. Tracy Chapman, an American songwriter known for writing the songs Fast Car, Talking About a Revolution, and Give Me One Reason I Shouldn't Mutilate Your Corpse. And Stephen Tracy, a British policeman who was spotted at four of the crime scenes, but only because he was the policeman that was called out on all those occasions.
Stephen Tracy? Is that a real dude who was a suspect?
You are incorrect.
Oh, no.
First one, please.
First one.
I don't think it's going to be Tracy Chapman, so I'm going to go for George Chapman.
You are correct. It was George Chapman.
Clawing back a point.
All right. Many weren't happy with law enforcement at the time, which is why townsfolk set up a vigilante group called People Against Police, solving mysteries and tailing a ripper, also known as pap smear. Unfortunately, pap smear only got in the way of the investigations, which are already being hampered by the fact that the newly appointed head of the crime investigation department was on holiday in Switzerland. Jack the Ripper has inspired an episode of Star Trek, a song by Atomic Kitten, and was the main influence of the Disney film The Little Mermaid.
Star Trek. Has it inspired Star Trek?
It didn't inspire Star Trek, but it did inspire an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what. Sorry, yes, that's what I meant. Of course.
Nice.
And that's my lecture.
Yay!
Wow. Yeah.
At the end nice of one. That, did I smuggle anything through?
You'll have to tell
you
us.
Tell me. I've got you that there were 3 points scored. So if you had five, I guess that means you scored 2 points.
What I did manage to get through was that many of the townsfolk weren't happy with law enforcement, and that they did set up a vigilante group. Obviously, the group wasn't called Pap Smear, but did exist. And also, they were a bit cheesed off by the fact that the newly appointed head of the crime investigation department was on holiday in Switzerland when kind of 4 of the big murders happened. So there you have it.
Sure.
So
nice.
Looks like
he was also
worth.
Cheesed off being in Switzerland.
Okay, my little lecture is on Frankenstein. Here we go. The common misconception around Frankenstein is that rather than the name referring to the monster, it actually is the name of one of the gifts at Jesus' birth. The monster was originally going to only consist of 2 parts from separate beings, a horse and a mermaid, as the character's creator, Mary Shelley, was obsessed with sea-mer horses.
Beep. I got in there first.
Mary Shelley was in there?
Mary Shelley was the creator.
Mary Shelley is the creator.
Yes.
I'll just put a little point down on my sweet little board. The bolts sticking out of the monster's neck were only added after the first on-screen appearance when the actor walked onto set wearing one of those novelty bow and arrow through the neck things.
Beep. I don't know if that's true, but it could be true that the bolts were only a screen thing and didn't exist before then.
No, that would not be true.
Oh.
The story of Frankenstein has been played out on screen in various adaptations, namely Stepson of Frankenstein, Garage Sale of Frankenstein, Lady Frankenstein, Frankenstein Kills, and Bill and Frankenstein's Spooky Adventure.
Beep. Stepson of Frankenstein is definitely a film.
It's not.
What?
Beep. I'm going to go for Lady Frankenstein.
That is correct.
Yay!
Well, this is really awkward because on Netflix the other day, the suggestion was Stepson of Frankenstein. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, don't Google it for the sake of a point, but I'll know I'm right.
Okay.
Why am I?
That is going to be awkward. Notable actors to play in such adaptations are Dennis Quaid, David Prowse, and Jerry Stiller in his role of Frankensteinza, an amalgamation of Jewish parents everywhere.
That's great.
The villagers who would chase the monster to the castle would often be singing hate songs perfectly in key. This is because they usually carried pitchforks.
They did carry pitchforks.
That's so good.
Is that part of the facts?
That's the end of my my lecture. That wasn't one of the facts that I was trying to portray, but you can have it if you want.
I presume
you smuggled in one of the people.
I smuggled in a person, David Prowse.
Who was David Prowse?
He was the actor inside Darth Vader's costume.
Ah.
He played in The Horror of Frankenstein, which was in 1970.
Wow.
Ah.
Yeah.
Similar characters.
So at the end of that, I might have got 1 point, but it's contentious.
No, I'm probably thinking of the stepson or something else. Maybe the Stepford Wives.
So at the end of all of that, my scores say that Andrew has won with 3 points.
Yes!
Nice work, yay! Andrew.
Very good.
Applause, applause, applause. Spooky applause.
Ooh.
It doesn't sound like applause. People go, okay, that sounds like somebody breathing.
Which is spooky.
Yeah.
When do people do that to signify applause?
You know, when they go, and he scores the touchdown, the crowd goes wild. You never seen that in like every sitcom?
No. But I like it.
It's definitely in The Simpsons once.
It's better than going clap, 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 clap.
I don't know. It's more realistic going clap. What would be really great is to just have some applause.
Or just use your hands, I guess.
Yeah, clapping with hands.
Yeah, and that works. I mean, it's definitely easier to clap with hands in other parts of your body.
Tried and tested.
I've tried twerking before, and it's not as easy to clap with your bum cheeks.
as much noise here.
No. But imagine a round of twerking applause.
Yeah.
That would be one heck of an interesting sound to witness. As
once you hear, you can't unhear.
I don't think the point of twerking is to make a noise with your butt.
But it is to slap the cheeks together. No. I've done my research. What do you mean, no?
No, it's just up and down. It's just a bit of a jiggle up and down.
I implore you to, after this podcast, go home and Google what makes a successful twerk.
No,
and I think you'll find that it's when the butt cheeks hit the perfect spot where they clap against each other, emitting a lovely little.
This really has been a scary
sound.
Episode.
S-L-A-N-D-E-R-O-U-S.
Slanderous.
Welcome to Slanderous, where we like to insult a brand until they pay us to do this podcast. It's a strange way around to get sponsorship, but the normal method hasn't worked for us yet.
It's low-level blackmail.
It's low-level blackmail, and today we'll be slanderizing Apple products.
Apple products?
Yeah. They are the absolute pits.
They are terrible. I mean, I don't understand what's going on with them. Why? It's almost like they're a bad accountant. They've just added an extra zero onto the price of every single product that they sell.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we meant to put up with that.
And it's like, you know, we're recording this podcast on a computer. Mm. It hasn't once hung or dropped out or froze or anything. Whereas had we been doing it on a Mac, you'd get that little beach ball and they think, because it's a beach ball, it reminds us of being young and having fun. It's not fun to watch your projects crash, actually, Apple.
No, it's not. And I don't like Apple users. I'll go as far as to say that it's not just Apple that we need to slander.
No.
It's anyone that is a big Apple fanboy and talks about how great Apple is all the time.
Yeah.
Because these users, what they do is they do say ridiculous things like, oh, but my computer doesn't crash and it never gets a virus.
Yeah.
And it's just not true. I mean, my computer hardly ever gets a virus anymore as well because virus checks exist. Why? I mean, also, I'm but bleak with the people that make viruses. Why aren't they trying to like make some viruses for Macs? Wait,
Stay on topic.
Yeah. We're slandering virus makers now.
See, now, there's a lot of hate online for Apple products, and a lot of people really hate them. Yeah. But I'm not one of those people. I am disappointed in Apple products,
which is way worse. Yeah.
You know, there's something about a Mac OS, the system that runs on a Mac, that is very, I don't know, unintuitive.
Yes.
And everything is slightly different and slightly worse.
Yeah.
And it's more expensive. Disappointed.
Can we get onto their phones?
Disappointed.
What I don't like about that operating system is that what happens is you're in a program and you're busy minding your own business and everything's fine and you want to go into a different program and you go into a different program and they kind of have this thing called Windows. Like they have Windows.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost like they've kind of just trying to spit at Windows for some reason because, you know, they're pretending that they have this great system, but it's basically just Windows. Anyway, so you go in between these different windows and you go to the top to try to save something and then the big kind of file system at the top is not linked to the window that's open and you're like, why? Why has that happened? Stupid operating systems.
Yeah, I call them Apple losers.
What about the phones?
Apple phones. I hate them all because I had one that sucked. And therefore, they all suck. And anyone who has one sucks. And I hate Apple mainly.
So, Apple, if you're listening.
However, if you decide to sponsor this podcast, I'd be happy to change.
Oh, man. If you sponsor this podcast, we would love Apple products.
I'll tell you what's good about Apple phones.
Yeah.
Intuitive.
Yeah. Really good design.
It's sleek. It kind of bends to the shape of your ass when you sit down, which some people have complained about. I think that's a good thing.
Hey, ergonomic.
That is ergonomic to the max. Yeah. And it's also it personalizes it.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, this is my phone. If you try to sit on it, it would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
it's
I love
the shape of mine.
And sometimes expensive.
Sometimes those phones are like, you know, like when you get a card stuck on a table, you just can't pick it up. If it's bent, easy.
Yeah, totally.
And I think they're perfectly priced because I like being able to buy an expensive Apple product and walk around smugly in front of my friends and they all think I'm a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do like doing that.
What's that music I hear?
The quiz!
This week's quiz is the Christopher Lee quiz.
Ooh. Oh, yes. Hey? That dude is Count
the
Spookula.
Original Dracula?
Original Dracula.
Awesome. Point to me.
Original,
point to me.
Yeah.
Point to me.
Okay.
I get a point for knowing he is Dracula. Give me a point.
No.
Yep.
Okay, so round.
Star Wars with David Prowse.
No. Huh? Round, whom do you serve? Saru 1.
Great.
Question 1. At age 17, mm-hmm. what gruesome act did he witness in Paris?
Beep.
Simon.
I'm going to say the killing of some sort of animal. So it's maybe like the beheading of a chicken or something.
Oh, incorrect. You're close, but you're incorrect.
Is it something to do with the sewage system there?
Just no.
Beep, the killing disgusting. Of a pig?
No, you're
beep,
incorrect.
The killing of a lamb?
Incorrect.
The killing of a pigeon?
Incorrect.
Did you say a pigeon?
Beep, a dog being run over.
I'm going to read the question again, just in case I said something incorrectly. At age 17, what gruesome act did he witness in Paris?
The beating up of a puppy.
No. Why are you on this animal theme?
Because you said I was close to the
said
chicken.
An animal, and you said you're close.
No, yeah. you're the wrong bit was close.
Oh, the beating up.
No.
Not that either. No. Just the of.
No.
The of was close. No. It's not even right.
You saw something.
You said something. You just said remember what you said.
Cutting off the head of.
Yes.
Guillotining.
Yes. Yeah. He saw the death of the murderer Eugene Weidmann, the last person in France to be publicly executed
Sweet.
By guillotine.
Wow.
Hectic.
Yeah.
They were still doing Amazing. That when Did Star you know that? Wars New Hope was coming out.
Really?
That's one of those, did you realize these things cross over goodness. In time?
Did you know, interesting fact though, what was the guy's name again?
Christopher Lee.
No. the man.
Eugene Weidmann.
Yeah, it is him. Eugene was a chicken. You do know that. He was a bona fide chicken.
Right,
so
okay.
I should get a point.
Question 2. While he is best known for portraying Dracula, name another villain he's played excluding Saruman and Count Dooku.
I knew it. That's a bit
That's very
annoying.
Tough.
There's a long list, so if you get one of them, yes.
The Wolfman.
No.
He is a bad guy, or at least he is in Gremlins 2. Is that in there?
What is the name of his character? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it's on my list.
I actually don't think he is a bad
guy.
I think it's on my list.
In the film.
The Swamp Thing.
The Swamp Thing is incorrect.
I'm guessing
the Mummy.
Is the right answer.
Sweet.
Oh, it's wow. one of the right answers.
Is that a list off the like... Those famous screen monsters.
Yeah, he's played the Mummy, Frankenstein's monsters, Fu Manchu, Rasputin, Rochefort, Scaramanga, Mephistopheles, and Death himself.
Mephistopheles from Cats.
Mephistopheles.
By any chance, because this will help me a lot, has he played the stepson of Frankenstein?
No, unfortunately not. Okay, question 3. Why did Lee hiss throughout the film Dracula, Prince of Darkness?
Beep. He had terrible asthma that week of filming.
It's incorrect.
I was going to say allergies, but if you didn't say that was close, then I'm not going to say
allergies
anymore.
It wasn't close, no. No, it wasn't close.
Because hissing is evil sounding, and he was trying to sound more evil.
It is, but that's not the reason he was doing
Beep.
It.
Yeah. Maybe he had hurt his tongue that week.
No, this was a choice that he made. He chose to hiss.
Beep. He thought that this guy was in some way a reincarnation of a snake.
No.
Is it something to do with the false teeth of Dracula that would make you hiss?
No, let me try and draw you closer to the answer.
Was he wearing brachy?
No. No, it's conflict related.
He got punched in the mouth.
No.
It's conflict.
I don't think you're going to get this.
No,
the
if you
answer
gave better clues.
The answer was the script was so bad he refused to say any of the dialogue.
That was We were never going to get that.
But it's quite a cool
it is
fact.
It's conflict related. I like that fact.
Okay. Question 4. Which person had he met that none of the other cast members of The Lord of the Rings had met?
Beep. It's probably... who's not in the film for the majority of the time?
Yes.
Peter Jackson.
No. They'd all met Peter Jackson. He was the director.
Maybe Bilbo?
I thought you meant before.
No. This is someone that none of the cast has ever met apart from him. Hint, he's really old. Hint, if you know The Lord of the Rings.
Ian McKellen?
No.
Sir Ian?
No.
Gollum.
Here is the biggest clue. Who wrote The Lord of the Rings?
Tolkien. Beep Tolkien.
Yes.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
He met Tolkien in a pub.
Yay.
Crazy. To chat about the book and the film.
Yeah, and I think Tolkien even said that he could play Gandalf in a movie, but I don't think that was in the pipeline.
Oh,
then.
Weird.
That was really difficult to get. Can I get 3 points for that?
No, you can't.
I think the clue who wrote it was...
No. That was one of the most difficult ones. Because
okay.
I kept on thinking it was written by Moses.
We're moving on to round 2, which is filming good. You need to tell me which film was he not in.
Oh, this will be quite challenging.
Here we go.
Hasn't he been in like the most films out of anyone?
It was a long list.
Leslie Nielsen.
And I went right to the bottom. Okay.
Good.
Innocence in Paris.
Yep.
Babes in Baghdad.
Yep.
Destination Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Police Dog.
Nope.
Storm Over the Nile.
No,
yes.
He was not in Police Dog.
Okay.
Simon? I've also gone for Peace Dog, but maybe that's too obvious. I'll go the Destination one.
Simon is correct.
Oh, my word.
Yay. It was Destination Milan. He was in Police Dog. He was in Babes in Baghdad and all of those other ones.
Was he in Police Dog 2?
I don't know.
Police Dog is definitely the kind of film that has a Police Dog 2.
Police Dog was really far down the list as well. It's not like it was a recent one. So, anyway.
Sounds fun. I'm going to watch it.
We're going to move on to round three, which is finish the...
Saruman.
Quote. The first quote is, to be a legend. Should I try and do an impression?
Yes.
What does he sound like? To be a legend. That's Madiba.
No, that was getting there.
To be a legend, you've either got to be dead or...
alive. It's one or the other. No. Covered
or
his bases.
Deader. No.
Or cool.
It's kind of like being dead, but not quite.
You've got to be a zombie.
Sleep.
Undead.
No.
Is it asleep?
You're almost dead.
You've got to be old.
Yes, is the right answer. You've got to be excessively old.
No.
Yeah. Hope there really aren't any old people listening, because they've had a flipping
walloping
this podcast.
To be a legend.
From knees to being called close to dead by Andrew.
Look, I have no beef with old people. Okay. There are many vampires in the world today. You only have to think of the...
Beep. Russians.
No. I see.
Bats.
No.
Because some of them are vampire bats.
No, this is, let me say, conflict related.
Beep the news. The war in Iraq.
No.
The script.
Getting closer.
The words.
That kind of
the
arena.
The director.
I'm going to give it to Simon. The film business.
The film business.
Yeah
you gave it to me.
Lots of blood suckers there.
Yeah.
And the last quote is, you can never be a proper actor without good...
Beep.
Skills.
Diction.
Skulls.
Hair.
No.
Agents.
These are all good answers, but no.
PR.
Director.
It's more like kind of...
movement. Vibe.
CGI. Aura.
Not vibe.
Movement,
kind
like
of
you
like,
said.
Kind of like reactions, except good...
Vibes.
Instincts.
Is the right answer. Well
Ooh,
done, Dylan.
Basic instincts.
Ooh. Is
Ooh.
That one?
Vavu.
And we're going to move on to round four, which is distant relative. Now, I'm not going to give away the distant relative because it's part of the first question.
Okay.
So the first question is,
Beep,
what
a heavy metal Christmas album.
Is the right answer?
Yes.
Is it a heavy metal? So the first question was, what music genre did he famously enjoy?
Yeah.
Heavy metal.
Loves it.
He has a metal productions company called
had to come up.
Charlemagne Productions.
I've tried to genuinely... The only reason I was so confident this had to come up is because it is such a weird fact about him. And I really genuinely try to buy his Christmas album for our keyboardist, Tim.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to be really into the fact that Saruman had a metal band. But alas, it was very difficult to get hold of.
Well, okay, well, question two. Name a song on his heavy metal Christmas album.
Christmas yes. Witch.
No.
Maybe Jingle Hells or something like
is
that.
Is the right
yes.
answer. Well done. yeah.
Jingle Hells.
The other options were The Little Drummer Boy, Silent Night, and My Way. Silent Night is not silent. and
wait, what? The songs are just called normal songs.
Yeah,
Drummer
apart
Boy.
From Jingle Hell.
Oh.
So you could have gotten Silent Night. Wow.
So the last question is, how old was he when he released his first full heavy metal album titled Charlemagne by the Sword and the Cross, which won the Spirit of Metal Award from Metal Hammer Golden God Ceremony?
71.
Beep. I'm going to go for probably 65.
Well, the correct answer was 88. So Dylan is closer.
Yes.
Ooh, he wins.
Well closer.
I
don't win the quiz though.
Yeah.
You deserve
Simon
to win
Simon wins
quiz.
The quiz with yes. 6 points to four.
It's a landslide.
Yeah. I was wondering, can we put in quiz requests? Can we do a Lion King quiz at some stage? Because I feel that Dylan got a Seinfeld quiz. It's kind of playing to his strengths.
Not really. It turned out to not be the case.
I think if we had a Lion King quiz...
If you do a Lion King quiz, it needs to be like questions about Matthew Broderick, though, because the Seinfeld quiz had very little to do with the Seinfeld show.
Yeah.
What kind of shoes does Matthew Broderick wear?
That was one of the questions in the Seinfeld quiz.
Well, thank you again for listening to our Hour of Fun.
I also appreciated you listening to our Hour of Fun.
Well, you guys have made a lot of pressure here for me to say the same thing. But would you believe it? I, too, appreciate you listening to this hour of fun. We've really enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye.